So, seven things that Jesus, seven things his death provides for us. He died. We live. Hallelujah. We're alive in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to look at these seven things, and our time will be a little bit short. So if I talk until 1 o'clock, well, that's okay. I'm kidding you. I'm not trying to be silly, but the Lord knows what we need. So let's look in our Bibles. This first one that we're going to look at is because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, look in Romans 5:1 in your Bible, and the very first thing we're going to look at is that we have peace with God because Jesus died for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So praise the Lord, we have been justified. What does it mean? It means that when we receive Jesus as our Savior, then it renders us innocent. That fact that we accept Jesus, the word justified means that we are rendered by God. We are rendered innocent. We are made righteous, holy before God, because we have Christ in us. That's the reason. Hallelujah. And notice in that first verse, it's by faith. It isn't by works. It's not by how good we are. It's by faith. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. By faith, our standing as a believer. That's the first word that we all need to understand. Standing. What is our standing? In other words, where do I stand before God? Where do we stand before God? We stand with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He looks at us. He sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. That's a song, and it's a precious song. He sees Jesus. He sees that. We have peace with God. Hallelujah. We stand in the grace of God, in his favor. So where do you stand? I believe everyone here knows Jesus as their Savior. And if you know Jesus, then you're standing in the right place. You're standing with peace in with God. Hallelujah. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we want to understand how God deals with people, why he deals with them. He's looking at us and he sees that we need him, that we are sinners before we know Jesus is our Lord. And so he delivers us and brings us into that place of having salvation in Christ. The next word that we're going to look at is the word reconciled. Number two, this is one of the seven things that his death provided for us. This word reconciled by his death is found here in chapter 5 of Romans, also verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We think of a reconciliation like if there are two people that are having trouble and they need to get back together, you know, that they're talking to one another and their forgiveness of the sins, and they become reconciled. They're friends. They're together again. Well, this word reconciliation speaks of that, how that Jesus Christ redeemed us and gave us a spiritual new birth. And that's why we have been reconciled. And in the Greek, it actually speaks of atonement. Now, what is atonement? I know many of you know this. I'm saying it for everybody here today. Atonement is what they did when they put the blood on the doorpost back in the 14th chapter of Exodus, because God told them to do that. This is atonement, is when they took the little lambs and they offered them, when they took the oxen and offered them to God, and the blood was shed. So when Jesus Christ died, that brought forth reconciliation, a drawing together of the people, people that didn't believe. See, those who don't believe in the Lord, now they received that salvation, and so they're a child of God. They're reconciled. Hallelujah. So that's the second thing that we see that Jesus Christ's death did for us. And there's references in other parts of the scripture. Since our time's rather short, I'm going to not read everything, but Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, it talks about how that we're justified by the Lord. And the word, it doesn't mean what we often think, well, I'm justified and acted mad, or, you know, whatever people say. That's not the word that we're looking at. To be justified means that he renders, because we believe in him by our faith, we receive him. We have been rendered innocent. He looks at us and we are innocent, because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed our sins away. We are free from sin and we are made righteous, the scripture says, okay? And so if you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, well, in the Old and New Testament, God has had individuals who really trusted him and walked with him. And that's what we see in Hebrews 11. All the different ones that Paul announces there and mentions, who were the same by faith. They were the children of God. They were the persons that followed God. Now, the third thing that we see is that we have deliverance from our sin. And one of the things that the devil tries to do, even when a person is born again and following, has been born again and received Christ as their Savior, the devil will fight us and try to get us to follow on in sin, to walk on in sin and do things that are not pleasing to God. That's the old nature that we still have. We have a new nature, which is Christ in us, and an old nature, which is the old devil still working in our old self. We're going to look in the book of Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians in our Bible. And we'll look in chapter 1, verse 12. It tells us here about how we have deliverance. These are some of the things, the seven things that his death provided for us. And, you know, I'm saying seven, but really and truly, when you think about what Christ did for us on the cross, it was much more than seven. But seven is a number that God uses a lot in the Bible. So the deliverance from our sin here in Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that means made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. We have been delivered. There in verse 13, who hath delivered us, praise the Lord. We still have the old nature in us, and we still can sin if we don't follow the leading of the Lord in our lives. But praise the Lord, he enables us. He makes us meet. There, that word meet, not M-E-A-T, but M-E-E-T in verse 12. He has made us able. He has made us. It means, the word in the Greek means he enables us, or he qualifies us. See, he enables us to follow him. He gives us the strength. He gave us a new life. And so now we have this. We have been delivered. Hallelujah. And this word delivered in the Greek is interesting. It means through the idea of a current. What is, I'm not talking about a fruit. I'm talking about, when I say, read that where it says a current, it means a rush of water, a stream that's going in a rush. It means to rush or draw, that is to rescue. So what does the Lord God do? He isn't slow. Sometimes we think he's slow because we pray and we pray about some things, and it seems like he isn't doing much about that. You know, have you ever had that experience? I'm sure each one of us here have had an experience where we prayed hard about something and it didn't seem like it got done on, you know, we want it now, don't we? But this word, to be delivered, means that there is a current that is rushing. And so the Lord God is the one who takes care of us. He has delivered us from this present evil world, the scripture says. So praise the Lord that we have been delivered. Now that's the third thing. The fourth thing that we see, I've got a lot more. I got that much more just on that one, okay? But we're going to go to the fourth one, and that is forgiveness. He has given us forgiveness. And this right here is in Colossians also in verse 14, so we don't have to even turn the page. It's right there in Colossians 1:14. In whom? In other words, in Christ, in God, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now the word redemption, it means the act of ransom to deliver by paying a price. Do you understand? In my lifetime, I have known of a couple of really, really terrible, terrible times when wealthy people, their children were stolen, and there was a price that the enemy says, we'll kill your child, or if you don't pay the money. That has happened in this world. But Jesus Christ, he died on the cross to pay the debt that we owed. And so he delivered us. He forgave us of our sins when we received that. And this act of redemption for our ransom to deliver us by paying a price is what it means. To buy out of the slave market. We were slaves to sin. And now that we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the children of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. And notice it says it's through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Without Christ dying, we would not have forgiveness. Because we couldn't. We can't be good. You know that? We can't be good in ourselves. We have an old nature. But through his blood. The word through means a channel of an act. There's a channel in this thing. The way that we're delivered is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By this redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the fifth thing we're going to look at is found in Romans 6. Let's go to the sixth chapter of Romans. It's back that way in case you don't know. Chapter 6, verse 23. It tells us in this one that we have life. This is a gift of God. What does it say? Jesus in chapter 3 of the book of John, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Life. We have life in Christ. So this verse 23 of chapter 6 of Romans. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. So we're not just talking about the natural life. You know, one thing he does help us is through this natural life. And when we're sick, we can pray. And oftentimes we're healed. Thank God for sister's testimony this morning about this miraculous thing. We know that God intervened. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. Praise the Lord. He cares about us. And so hallelujah for that. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said that in, as I just quoted, John 3:16, everlasting life. It means eternal life, always. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, you have eternal security in Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so that's the way we get this eternal life. In Titus 3:17, that being justified by his grace, we would be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And somebody says, yeah, see there, it says we have to hope for eternal life. The word hope doesn't mean that it's not possible and we gotta be really good or we're not gonna have it. That's not what that means. That word hope in the Greek means expectation or confidence. So we could read it this way, being justified by his grace, we would be heirs according to the expectation and confidence of eternal life. We have confidence through it. Praise the Lord. Our life in Christ is eternal life. We're going to live in heaven one of these days for eternity. How precious. Now, the sixth thing that we're going to look at is inheritance. We have inheritance. Praise the Lord. The word inheritance in the Greek means heritage. You know what a heritage is? It's something that you have because you belong to a certain family and things that get passed down to you because you are in that heritage. And it means a portion or a lot. As a member of the family of God, I have a heritage. I have a portion of blessing that God is going to give to me, that God's going to give to you because we have received Christ as our Savior. Hallelujah. Back to Colossians 1:12 again. We have to go back there because we got one more thing there that's important. Colossians, and I'm not saying that's the only thing in Colossians that's important, but it is a marvelous thing. Colossians 1:12, as we've already read, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. And as I already said, being meet means he enables us and he shares with us all that he has for us. He'll share it with us. He is meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. My grandparents weren't wealthy. They had 10 kids. So there was no inheritance, really, to my mother. My mother wasn't wealthy, and she didn't have any inheritance, much of anything. And as far as passing it on to the family, my dad didn't either. So, you know, we didn't have much inheritance in the natural. But praise the Lord, one thing that I can say, I had salvation, I had the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I was healed, God gave me peace, he gave me victory, because I had heard the word of God. Amen. Isn't that precious? An inheritance of the saints. Praise the Lord. And we're going to turn back in our Bible quickly to Romans 8, okay? Romans 8, we're going to read verse 17. Because this scripture that we just read says that we have an inheritance. So is there another scripture in Paul's gospel that tells us we do? Yes. And we're going to go down to verse 17. It says, if we're children, now he's talking about us being heirs of God, as he says here. If children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means when he says joint heir, that means we will be there and share the glory of God. The glory of Jesus Christ will be our portion also as we walk with God and yield to God. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Praise the Lord. So the children are produced. There's a birth has taken place. We're born into the family of God, and we inherit. When it says heirs, when it talks about being joint heirs, it means a participant in common. Okay, so like we're brothers and sisters, and we get an inheritance, we both get the same thing, see? So in the things of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. He has all power. He has everything, all the blessings of his Father. We too then will be joint heirs with him and a participant with him, a fellow joint heir, a sharer by lot, because we're born again, the sharers of God. Greater inheritance to those who faithfully stand, even though they may suffer. They are going to receive great inheritance. Praise the Lord, that we might be glorified together. Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That last phrase, that we may be also glorified together. The word glorified there means to be exalted to dignity. Which one of the group of believers in heaven is going to have the dignity? The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he is calling us to. So our last one, we're at 12 o'clock noon. I've got a few minutes to speak. Praise the Lord. The last word that we have of those seven words that we're talking about because of Jesus is heaven. Heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go there. Anytime's fine with me, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look back in the book of John where Jesus was talking there in that chapter 14. We read a little bit of it. John is just right back there in the beginning of the New Testament. John 14. We're going to go there. See what Jesus said. Chapter 14 of John. We're going to read verse 3, what Jesus said. Now, before this, he told us not to let our heart be troubled. It means to be stirred or agitated. To believe in God and believe also in Jesus. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, as we read the scriptures, he says he's going to go and prepare a place. It'd be easy to think, well, he's talking about when he gets up there to heaven, he's going to start building these places for us to be. But really, where was it that he prepared the place for us? It was on the cross. He died. He gave his whole life for us, that we might have life, eternal life, that we might have a place in heaven with the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. I think he was speaking of the cross. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give you away. Notice what he says in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. So he's the way, and he went there to that cross, and he did this. He prepared a place for us by his going to the cross. Oh, hallelujah. I wrote in my margin a long time ago, at Calvary, he did this. Oh, hallelujah. And of course, he went up to heaven later. We know that. Oh, praise the Lord. That's so beautiful, isn't it? And so we're going to stop. The last one we're going to read is 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And we've got communion today, too. So you suppose you guys can hold on? One more scripture, and we will be finished. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. It's talking about heaven. We're going to read about how to get there. What's going to happen? We're going to begin reading with verse 13 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. This means to be unlearned and uninformed. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's not talking about natural sleep. He's talking about spiritual, going to be with the Lord, dying and going to be with the Lord. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Those that pass from this life and their spirits are in heaven with the Lord, they're going to come forth. They're going to be there with us in heaven. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word should be precede. We will not precede the ones who have died and gone on to be with the Lord, because it says just plainly that they will come up first. They will be first to resurrect, and then those alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord will be changed and be caught away. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, there it is right there. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. God is good. And that's our seven.